To God be the what?
Glory.
The glory. Well, I might sound a little bit negative for a little bit here this morning, and then just painting a picture, I guess. But I just want you to understand that the world in which you live in, and the time and the events that you are experiencing, is nothing like that which the early Christians were confronting, and the time in which they lived, and the principles that are laid out in God's Word for us, that came to us through grace, are just as relative, if not more so today, than they were then. You see, the events, especially in the light of the past few years that you and I are experiencing in America, one hears people and often exclaiming the fact that this world is out of control. Yet, when you and I understand the principle that as I read this book, I believe with all my heart that God is in control. Amen? God is sovereign. There's nothing going on in the world that God does not allow. Nations rise, nations fall at His bidding. God is in control. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But in every time frame that you and I, as God's people, all down through the ages, under the period and under the ministry of grace, there is something that God's people can do, no matter what events, no matter what is occurring, no matter what is happening, God, being in control, you and I have a role in which we can play in that which is occurring. Those who don't believe in the Creator God, as we believe in Him, you will find them over and over again expressing a hopelessness and a purposelessness, an emptiness in the aspect of what the world. And they just see things, every element, so to speak, like it's collapsing around them. And with the fear of terrorists, and with the realization of all the war that's going on in the Middle East, and with national and world catastrophes occurring like what we just seen in Florida and Georgia and California and all through and all the other elements of what's going on in the world today, catastrophe after catastrophe, people losing their homes, people losing their lives, people losing their jobs. The element that you and I see around us, the threat today, as the economics is caulking, depression, our economy is going to fall flat on its face. The world economy is in trouble. You hear that all the time. History is a continuous finding of itself coming to what I want to share with you today as a crossroad. Life is nothing but crossroads. A crossroad. And a crossroad is where two roads or paths meet and come together. It can be a philosophy. It can be a culture. It can be any aspect. It can be a crossroad in your own individual mind. The Bible speaks of double-minded people being unstable in all the ways. Crossroad. There is, and as it was, a man standing as it was at the corner. And he had a gun in one hand and a knife in the other. And he didn't know whether to shoot up the alley or cut across the street. Crossroads. Crossroads. You've made and you have faced various crossroads in every one of our lives. And in those points in time, you have made defining decisions of what path you are going to follow, what direction you are going to take. That happens as individuals. It can happen as a church. It can happen as a group, a family, a marriage, every aspect. It can occur as a nation. Joseph, remember, came to a crossroad where Pharaoh's wife was making, as it was, attempts upon his life, and Joseph chose to flee. Moses came to a crossroad where either he decided to defend the people and the children of God or enjoy sin for a season. Israel chose a crossroad. And their desire was no longer for God, but for a king like other nations. And crossroads come and crossroads grow. My Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death or destruction. And everywhere we look, there is a turning aside today from the teaching of this book. I'm telling you, everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere you look, this country, this world, is turning away from the teaching of the Word of God. And when God calls an abomination today, in His Word, is being passed by the Supreme Court and our government as it were, as a approval of that lifestyles and et cetera, and et cetera. And that we can go ahead and practice and live our lifestyles and nothing wrong with them, even though God condemns them. God says He hates homosexuality. You know that? He hates it. It's an abomination to Him. But what happens is this. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Did you hear that? He also went on, "Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness." And then he says, "Who substitutes bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Did you get a taste of that? I find deliberate action in our country today to do away with anything that has to do with God. Anything that does and has anything to do with the knowledge of God, with His presence, from the courthouse to the schoolhouse. We are fighting and we have and we see man resisting, wanting to have anything that relates to the knowledge and the truth that there is a God. There is a choice that is being made. The choice that a man is making and the world is making, our government is making, is they're determining things by preference, not by principle. Do you understand the difference? What is the preference? What do we want? What do we like? That seemed back in, if you remember, before the days of Noah, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Preference. Principles are those governing laws that dictates to us the way we are to treat one another if we're going to exist, if we're going to be interact in a way in which we can live together in peace and harmony and every aspect of our being. And God governs us by principle. And if we don't live by principle, the end result is seen today. Irreverence everywhere you go. That's lack of respect. In fact, disrespect is being shown. Pridefulness is on the rise. Over and over and over again, we find more and more people becoming so, if you will, narcissistic in our personality and their lives and so on. What does that mean? Well, it just simply means everyone is becoming their own little gods. And in that God world they live in, they want to control everything around them. That means the husband, the wife, the children. Doesn't matter what it is. And we find that happening all around us today. We really do. You see, I remember the campaign, America United for the Separation of Church and State. You remember that campaign? Huh? And what came out of it? Well, the Supreme Court took prayer out of our schools. You know what they did? They also took the Bible and any form of knowledge or any teaching of God's Word and its principle. They don't want it in the educational system anymore. You want to take the Ten Commandments out of the school system and everything, because if the Ten Commandments are there and kids read them, it'll give them an inferiority complex. That's what our psychiatrists say today. It will make them feel insecure. Okay? And so, what happened out of that? Well, abortion was legalized, right? Right? Judge Roy Moore was ordered to take the Ten Commandments from his Alabama courthouse, right? And we find over and over again in many, many countries, cities, towns, where the nativity scene is being fought against to take it out. The crosses are coming down in America today. You know that, don't you? And there are all kinds of movements, if you will, from different organizations trying to destroy anything that has any form of Christian language or concept within it and remove it. You can't have baccalaureates any longer in our school system where any mention is there of anything that has to do with God. You know that, don't you? Used to be preachers were called to preach baccalaureates. Not anymore. I preached 2 or 3, I remember, but never been asked since, and I know I never will be. Never will be. Marriage is being mocked today in our country. It is. It's being belittled. It is being put down. It is no longer honorable to be living in a marriage relationship today. Unborn children are being killed by the millions and have since abortion was legalized. You see, God's truth is being erased from our society. It really is. There's no doubt about that. And as a Christian, as a man of God, as one who believes and knows and has a fear for God in my heart deeply, I have a responsibility to the world in which I find myself living. I have a ministry that God calls and has always called upon the church to perform no matter what is going on in the world. And the first century church did it. They followed the principles of the Word of God, and in 10 years, they turned the Roman world upside down. You know that, don't you? They did. They did. You see, we must, and we have to align ourselves with the Lord God Almighty and live according to His will. There are too many Christians who wear the name Christian who have no desire whatever to submit themselves to the will of God. They want the blessing, they want to go to heaven, but they're not going to align themselves with what God commands in this book. They can have a form of Christianity, a form of godliness, but they are denying the power therein. And the church are filled with those kind of people. I said the church is filled with those kind of people. And God knows who we are. God knows who His own is. He knows them by name. And we know if we are a sheep that we hear and we know the voice of the Lord and we follow Him where He leads us. And we do what He says. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote to a Roman church under the control of the Roman government at that time politically. And he said these words, I beg you, I beseech you, if brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, mercy. Oh, yeah, remember? God didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us what? Mercy. God gave us something we could never deserve, and we call that. Did you hear what he just said? I beg you, people, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice. Wow. Not a dead one like the animals, but a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy sacrifice. Acceptable to God. Which is your spiritual service of worship. You know how many Christians think this is our worship service? I'm going to worship service. This is why I'm going here. No, this is not your worship service. No, this is where you get fired up. This is where you're supposed to get gassed up. This is where you're supposed to get filled up and whatever so you can live your life as a holy, living sacrifice acceptable to God every day, Monday, Tuesday. That is your spiritual worship. What you do tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's where you show who you are and what your true relationship with God is. And then he said, don't be conformed. Stop allowing the world to pressure you, conform you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. The transforming of the mind. You know, too many Christians today speak too much of the worldly thoughts and not spirit. You see, the Bible talks about a fleshly mind, a carnal mind, a reprobate mind, and a spiritual mind. A depraved mind. And God's desire is you have the mind of Christ. You have a spiritual mind. God wants to transform our mind. Why? So we can put under the microscope what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. and live according to it. And if we're going to make a difference in this world today, and if we're going to do what the early church did, if we're going to change the people you work with and your family, your children, and so on, they need to see that God is number one, that you're living your life as a sacrifice to Him, holy, acceptable, and you're committed to do His will. There are too many parents, too many people who are second guess in everything, and they are not consistent, they are not committed, they are not sacrificing, they're not giving themselves totally and wholly to the kingdom of God and to God Himself. And don't kid yourself. Your children see it. They see it. They really do. Secondly, we got to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. In a world that is filled with narcissism and egotism and pride, and we have a president who's an example to this country, and our presidents have changed this country since Clinton there, the immorality in our homes, fornication, adultery has increased at 86% since Clinton had his affair and it got broadcast throughout America. You know that? Those guys that sit up there, Obama is nothing more than a narcissist. So prideful. And you know what's happening? We got men, we got a culture being developed and men growing up to be narcissistic in their nature and aspects of it. And they're destroying the homes, destroying everything. And that doesn't mean women can't do the same. It doesn't mean that at all, okay? But to me, God says this, 2 Corinthians 7:14. 2 Corinthians 7:14. Now listen to me. Listen to what it says. It says this. If my people. What? He's not talking about all the world. He's not talking about the majority of individuals living out there a godless life. He says now, if my people, which are called by my name, and we were given a name, of course we wear the name Christian, if they, as it will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven. And, he says, I will heal their land. I will heal the land. And I will forgive the sin, and I will heal from the land. What do you suppose would happen if you spent maybe a lot more time every day of the week on your knees, humbling yourself before God, and praying for this country? Praying for who's going to be the leaders of this country. Who's going to be the ones that God allows? Because God takes them, He raises them up, and He brings them down. And brother, you and I need to be praying. If He put Saul in as king and David as that king and so on and so forth, according to His will. But when the people decided they wanted to select their king, you'll find that every king after that was a godless man. There came some good ones, of course, in the history. We have to humble ourselves, people. And we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He can do what? He can exalt us. We must pray and we must seek God. The Bible says the prayer of righteous men, righteous person, a prayer of a righteous woman, a prayer of that avails much. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Brethren, if you and I seek Him, He will reward us. That's what He promises, you know. But maybe this morning some of us need to repent of some of the sins that are in our life and get our lives back into the will of God and so on and so forth. Because God will hide His face from our sins. He will not hear our prayers if we are willfully living and practicing sin in our life. We have to repent as God's people if we want to make a difference in the world that we're living in today. And God's people can make a difference if they will repent, humble themselves, pray, ask God. We must repent. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. But also in the aspects of that, we must become obedient citizens and not be lawbreakers. And that's our text today. It says so clearly there in Romans chapter 13. Says every person must be subject to the governing authority. There is no authority except from God, and those who which are exist are established by God. That means what it says. And some of us don't have any respect for the law. Sometimes, as Christians, we speed, we break the law, we know we are, we're doing what we shouldn't be doing, and we never think a thing about it. The law is the law. And God knows every time you break the law, do something against the law that has been set by man, whether you like it or not. Seat belts are a law, and you ought to, as a Christian, respect the law and wear them. I hate it. So does my wife, because it cuts. You know? But the point is, that's the law. Whether I agree with it or not doesn't matter. That is a law. And as a Christian, I am commanded. It is kreso, the Greek word, subject is an imperative tense. I am commanded to obey the laws of the land. I'm commanded to do that. And as long as I am living in this country or any country, I am obliged to God, who is and has all authority and commands me to do so, I must do so. Peter and John were ordered by the council, however, okay, not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. So what do we do in cases where those who are in authority tell us we need to go against the will of God? Well, their reply was simple. It says, whether it is right in the sight of God to be heed you, or rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot speak, but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. It simply tells Bill Horton that if people bring laws where I can't read my Bible anymore, I can't meet on the Lord's Day anymore, I'm sorry, I'm going to do what God commands, not what man commands. Does that make sense? I believe so. In the aspect of creating, as far as God is concerned, these authorities were granted and they're there for one reason, and that is to punish those who are doing evil. Now, so if I... I just have to laugh. Marilyn and I have traveled down to Georgia a couple times now, as you know, to be with our daughter. And, you know, all I got to do is watch the cars go vroom, vroom. And pretty soon, brake lights come on. And sure enough, you get down the road and there's a cop sitting there in the medium. Isn't that amazing? Now, if they weren't speeding, they wouldn't have to do that, would they? And everybody said, no, okay, see. Point is, we're afraid of those guys, aren't we? Huh? Well, if you don't want to be afraid of them, just don't break the law. Right? There should be no fear in the hearts of Christians about the laws, because we're going and we are obeying them. We're driving, we're acting, we're doing according to what the law says. They don't bear the sword for nothing. You know what that's talking about? That's capital punishment. That's capital punishment. And since we've put that out of the sideline, you know, people are good. Unless people's hearts are struck with fear, they have no fear to do what is wrong. You know that? Huh? That's true, isn't it? Huh? What do you think they thought about when they were stealing horses and they knew if they got caught they were going to be hung from the nearest tree? You suppose maybe they thought twice before they stole the horse? Now, some of us just horse around, I know. But it is, though, it's fear that dictates and controls the conscience of people. You know that? It really does. It's right in verse 4, it says, it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. You see, God ordained civil government not to produce evil, but to punish it. That's why he ordained it. However, it's interesting, God paints the other side of the picture too. Proverbs 29:4. Proverbs 29:4 said, by justice a king gives stability to the land, but one who exalts gifts ruins it. Think about all the lobbying that's been going on, all the money that's been passed under the table, all that people are doing today simply because somebody like Soros and others who are multi billionaires are controlling what's going on in our country today. And it's ruining us as a people. You know, you talk about the liberal press. You know who owns the New York Times? You know who owns the press today? They don't own it. They're bought out by these billionaires who are liberal socialists. There's a crossroad. The crossroad of America today is whether we're going to continue. Not as a democracy. Good grief, people. If you don't know history, you don't understand the principle. We're a republic, not a democracy. We're to be governed by the law of the Constitution and the Declaration of the Independence. The Supreme Court was never set aside to make laws. They were set aside to make sure the law already set aside is followed, not to interpret it, not to change it, but to make sure it's obeyed. That's what they were appointed for. We're really at a crossroad, people. We really are. In the aspects of where and what they're wanting to do within the setting of America today. Capitalism, they are calling it all kinds of names and whatever. And you know as well as I do that all these other isms have never worked anywhere. Doesn't matter what you call it, it's always failed. Be it communism, feudism, you name it, it has never, ever succeeded. Socialism will not succeed. It hasn't, can't, and I don't care how intelligent we are, not why. Why can't it? Because of the sinful nature of men. Greed, covetousness, desire for more, power. It can't succeed under that element. Until we're all governed by the same laws and by the same principles, there will be no unity. It cannot. It's impossible because of man's sinful nature. You understand that? That makes sense, or doesn't it? You see, in the principle of it. The principle is that, as it says in Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked are in authority, transgression increases, but the righteous will look upon their downfall. Did you hear that verse? Did you hear that verse? I don't care how many times Bill Clinton's been down that little island that's filled with prostitutes. I don't care how many of our House of Representatives and our senators and now are practicing immoral, ungodly lives and are sitting and doing whatever. Whenever they're wicked, whenever those individuals are in authority, transgression increases, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But you and I, we will see their downfall. A society of that nature cannot. Every nation that has ever fallen has fallen from within. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I remember Khrushchev saying, we'll never have to drop a bomb on the American people. They will destroy themselves. Pornography, whatever it is, eating our nation up. It is killing us as a people. Immorality is a degradation to any country. And we are becoming more and more. Because without the knowledge of God, without the fear of God, what dictates immorality? Okay? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I believe Calvary is and was my crossroad. How many believe that? I made a choice at the cross, didn't you? I made a choice of what direction I was going to walk and what kind of life I was going to live. And I chose to remember and to understand the principles that God says. In fact, Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me. That's a crossroad, isn't it? Jesus didn't give any leeway one way or the other. In fact, he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Isn't that what he said? Well, the kingdom is the church. You know that, don't you? It's God's people. It's the body of Christ. That's whom we are and what we are to be seeking for. But what is my ministry? Well, my ministry is very simple. I'm going to pay my taxes. How about you? Huh? That's what it says, right? It says pay taxes. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. Custom to custom. Honor to honor. Whatever. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to pay my taxes. Just as big. Why? Because God says so. What else am I going to do? Well, 1 Timothy 2 says, I'm going to pray. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for the kings and governors and those who are in. Pray. Pray why? So that you might lead a peaceful life. Well, what is my response? What's my ministry to this government? I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to pay my taxes, but I'm going to humble myself under the mighty, and I'm going to pray to God to move in this land, that he would raise up righteous men and women in the realm of our political power. I believe he can do that. I believe he can. I've been believing and I have been praying for God to bring the truth out about Hillary and all these individuals that are in the limelight today. I'm just praying, God, let somebody find the truth. Why? Because truth sets us free. And we can't be free as a nation as long as people can lie and get away with it. And I keep praying. You need to be praying for God to turn the light on all the wickedness and greed and lying and deceiving that's been going on in our country. And I know God can do that. Don't you? So I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. Because that's where my ministry is to pray for the nation, the country that I live in. It doesn't matter if I was in Russia, Egypt, whatever. I am accountable as a Christian to be praying. That's what my ministry is. It's simple, isn't it? Get on your knees and pray. Pray. Joshua declared, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Amen? That's my choice. That's my crossroad. I chose that I'm going to serve God. And people, your citizenship is in heaven. If you've been risen with Christ, then you set your mind on those things which are above. The church should not be filled with people who are more committed to their organizations and to their unions and to this and that, more so than they are to the principles that governs right and wrong. It should not be whether you're this or that, this political party, that one, it doesn't matter. You should be voting according to principles of right and wrong, moral values. Nothing more than what is morally right and what is standing and what is producing and what is foundational to those moral principles that we believe in. That we believe in. It's amazing to me how many people are controlled by what party they're a part of or what they believe in or what this person or this organization is going to do for them down here, whatever, and the moral values and the principles of God's Word doesn't mean a hill of beans of how they vote. I'm going to vote. But I have voted, and I vote according to principles, not by who and what I believe in, as far as patriotism is concerned. My patriotism is in heaven. Where's yours? I'm a patriot, but I'm a patriot of the kingdom of God. And I'm submitted to those moral values and principles that God has laid out for me in this Word. I will support those who support what this book teaches. And if they don't, I'm not going to vote for them. I don't care what party they're a part of. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Not any of you are going to get mad and leave and go away, are you? Because as a Christian, we are in and we are the light of the world. You know that? We're the light of the world. And we're to let our light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. We're to take our light and let it permeate the darkness in which we live in today. Now, how are you going to do that? If people don't see you're different, that you don't are not governed by different principles and things that govern you as a human being, they don't see that you act any different than they do, your words aren't any more sanctified than their words and whatever, how are they going to see the light that you and I permeate? Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the salt. And if the salt has lost its savor, how will it be seasoned as salt? What is a salt? Salt is a preservative. You know that you have a powerful, powerful life to live that you may preserve. If you preserve just one family, one life, one aspect of anything in your life, and you are that light and that salt that does that, then God bless you. God bless you. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Isn't it? That's our ministry. And God put us under grace so that we could be free to minister that way. Amen? And let's do it. Let's be the church of the day. Even though that church is back then thousands of years ago, I still walk by their faith. I'm still saved by the same blood. I received the same Holy Spirit they did. I have the same promise they have. I have the same ministry they had. And they did it. They made a difference in the Roman world, didn't they? So can we. We can make a difference. You can make a difference right where you work, in your family. Just get on your knees. Humble yourself. Get rid of whatever sin that's keeping you from running the race, whatever it might be. Lay it aside. Let God be able to receive your prayers and make them a powerhouse into the kingdom of God so that things can be done. Once we let God move, there's nothing that can stop anything, right? 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 Nothing's bigger than God. Nothing's impossible. We just need a church that has given themselves wholly, completely, sacrificially, laid themselves on the altar and said, God, here I am, use me. That's what we need today. Okay? Okay? Okay. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn.